cool. So I have a couple ideas about the show I want to share with you.
Okay.
First of which is that we should
get juice on here.
Yeah, well, sure. Yeah, get different people to that would be awesome. The first of which is like we're gonna start talking about different topics based on the like what we haven't done before.
Okay.
So like we did Facebook, today we'll do a different type of company. And what I was thinking is there's some industries that I don't really care about that specific player, but it's interesting to talk about how people advertise inside that sphere.
Okay.
Like I think it'd be really cool to do a show where we talked about how movie trailers are put together.
Sure.
Like, and why, you know, like, oh, because we talked a little about Frozen, but I think it'd be cool to talk about, you know, that was interesting, but that movie's trailer positioned it as this when it really was this.
Right. I think
Like that.
Monuments Men. Oh, this movie's going to be a funny comedy with George Clooney
Yeah.
and Matt Damon, and it would just.
And like an Ocean's 11-y film.
Right,
No,
and it
not
definitely
really.
wasn't.
And then like, why was that? Oh, because they realized the movie was boring.
I
Did you see Monuments Men?
did see Monuments Men, and I know some people who really enjoyed it. I mean, my older brother Dave, he really liked it, and I didn't as much. I guess probably because I was going in expecting an Ocean's 11-y, heist movie sort of a thing, but with a historical context, and I got a lot of historical context and not a whole lot of heist movie.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think I didn't dislike it, but I certainly didn't love it.
Yeah. So if I had gone in with different expectations, it would have been a different matter. Which is an interesting question. I mean, should your marketing get people in the door, or should your marketing get people in the door and help them enjoy it? Because it got me in the
Yeah.
door, but I didn't enjoy it and won't see it again because I was frustrated.
One of the things that consistently shows up in type of marketing people do on social media is that getting people to like your content is not as long-term of a strategy as getting people to share or like repost or, you know, so the difference between like favorite and retweet. I think it's interesting, you know, you want people to be, you know, the reach of exposure to be great, but at what cost,
Sure.
for your long-term brand image, which
Well,
it's like that
that's
short-sighted long-term problem,
well,
you
that
know?
just leads us straight to Upworthy and BuzzFeed, right? Here, let's have this very clickbaity, link-baity, headline title. Somebody clicks on
Yeah.
it, then realizes, oh, this article is terrible. I don't like this. And then they never come back because they realize, well, I associate Upworthy with these link bait, clickbait titles. And this.
It is, but the problem is, and we've seen this even with movies, where it's like this is a movie designed to get people to come, not to make people love it.
Yeah.
It works. It's hard.
Michael Bay.
Ideally, you'd want both, right? You want kind of some kind of in between where, yeah, like or Grown Ups 2 or Grown Ups 1
I was gonna
for
say, did anybody
instance.
see either of those?
Oh
Apologies if
man,
you saw those films and enjoyed them.
some people love those movies. You know, Austin, one of my
That's
friends,
true. Austin, he loved
he
That's
loves
My
Grown Ups
Boy, and he
and the Fast and Furious movies. He
loved.
loves those, but I do think they're more focused on getting someone into the show. Not as much getting someone to really love that. And sometimes you don't have to worry about it. A movie like, and we should save this for another show, but sometimes you have to worry like Drag Me to Hell or Cabin in the Woods. Purposeful misdirection can be fun.
Right.
You know, like, oh, this was not what I expected. But if you feel deceived as a consumer, that's bad.
Yeah.
I think in a large part, that's why Noah got such bad, you know, overall reactions, not in the with critics, but with audiences, because it looked like a summer blockbuster, and it was really kind of an art film.
I still haven't seen it, so I'm not sure.
Oh, dude, you gotta see it. I have strong opinions.
Yeah,
Okay.
I've seen some of your strong opinions.
Yeah. I cried at the end of that movie. Anyways, so the follow-up, do you have a follow-up today? Do you have any
I don't
follow-up?
have any follow-up from last week. Last week you talked about Facebook, right?
Yeah.
Last show. Nope, no additional follow-up from me.
Did you listen to the show when it came out?
I listened to the first episode. I didn't catch the second one.
The Facebook
Oh,
episode?
I did listen to the Facebook episode, yes.
Yeah. Okay. So That's cool. What did you think of the audio in that show?
I thought the audio worked well. My overall impressions of the show are, I think we need to keep it a little shorter. And yeah. I think that was about it. That was my biggest impression, was just short, maybe snappier, faster. That was about it.
Yeah, we also need to figure out a way for people to get in touch with us when they listen so that we can have follow-up. Because I have follow-up, but I'm sure that other, like, someone who knows more than we do would love to correct us when we're wrong.
Right.
So, we'll
yeah, follow-up. By follow-up, you mean someone giving you feedback or talking to you about the show?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, or making corrections, or, you know, disagreeing and talking about why they would disagree.
Sure.
That's the kind of stuff that I...
Well, let's go for it. What follow-up do you have from the past week?
Well, the only follow-up I had was Allstate. And actually, that's going to be the topic of our show, so this will be really easy, and we'll make it short and snappy, like you say. I saw an ad for Allstate, which I couldn't believe when I saw it. It blew me away. And we had been talking before about the MetLife situation,
right,
with life insurance.
Yeah.
Yeah, and like, oh, there's no inherent value in what they do, and so the only way to sell something that boring is to borrow brand equity. And this ad would be a counterpoint to that. This ad depicts a bunch of things. Let me read the copy. I'm going to grab the copy real quick.
Okay.
Did you see this ad?
I did, the Good Life Anthem ad.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a great ad. I love it. I'll tell you what I feel like it's indicative, or it eschews the feeling that the new GE ads feel like. And have you seen those new GE ads? My mom makes submarines go underwater or something by solar power. Anyway, similar to that. And then love the Dick's Sporting Goods ads recently, talking about loving sports again. And anyway, these longer cut ads.
Yeah, the sport. I've seen that. Yeah, the one where it's like sports matter. Yeah, it's sports matter.
Right.
So
it feels,
this one is,
it feels like those, or almost a little bit like the Maserati ad from the Super Bowl. But it's great. I love it. I like these longer form ads that are a little more focused on emotion, things that are a little more, you know, not so much on the nose.
One of the things that I've noticed about with this show is it's really hard to get information about advertisements. Because, like, I want to know what agency did it. I want to know, you know, what creative team also was a part of this. And sometimes that's a little bit obfuscated.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, here we go. So this was by Leo Burnett, which is a Chicago advertising agency. It says... There are man-eating sharks in every ocean, but we still swim. Every second somewhere in the world, lightning strikes, but we still play in the rain. Poisonous snakes can be found in 49 of the 50 states, but we still go looking for adventure. A car can crash, a house can crumble, but we still drive, and we love coming home. Because I think deep down we all know that bad things can happen in life. They can't stop us from making our lives good. I think that is, first of all, a great creative idea, right? But also is married to their product, right? Like, they're selling you the idea that risk is part of life, and one of the ways to deal with it is insurance,
right?
And that gets to the heart of what they are as a company. It gets to the heart of what their value proposition is. You know, like, you need to enjoy your life. You need to not worry about this. As opposed to, hey, Snoopy and Peanuts.
Well, or for that matter, Gecko or Flo or whoever the other.
Yeah.
Recognized characters are.
And we'll talk more about the different. Not every ad can be this, right? You can't do this all the time.
Right.
Because it's almost too pure.
But I think
you can't have that pure message all of the time.
Right. But I think the difference in what we're talking about is that, for the most part, Allstate's focus is comfort. It's safety. It's emotional. You know, it's you're in good hands. It's get Allstate so you can stay away from mayhem like me. it's this Good Life Anthem ad. Whereas you look at a Geico ad and there are these funny idioms, right? It's as happy as a clown in a golf cart or something like that. And it's focusing and on how, listen to how easy it is to get insurance. This is exactly, a fun thing. It's exactly. easy. And Progressive, that is almost always, this is, we're going to get you the lowest price. We're going to get you a cheaper quote. You get to choose.
And whatever. We can shop around your rates. Yeah, you can see how bad you're getting screwed over.
Sure. So which of these, and you know, one could argue that each of those companies is focusing on something specific to their brand. You know, that obviously Progressive wants to be known as the brand that gives you choice, and Geico wants to be the brand that makes it easy to get insurance. But Allstate has carved out this, you know, this mental place in our minds where it's, well, this is the brand of insurance for safety, for security, for allowing me to do the things that I love to do and that I want to do, and still feeling safe about it.
I think one of the things that I started doing research about is Allstate as a company. And the "You're in good hands" tagline is one of the oldest taglines in America that's still being used today. Like, there's lots of taglines that are older and maybe even, you know, used on and off. But they've used that campaign continuously since, like, the 1950s. I want to congratulate the copywriter and strategist that came up with it, because they, every time you see your ad 50 years later, you're like, man, that was a really good insight. You know? So some of the reasons that tagline sticks around is because of their pretty ingenious decision to put this on the net of every NFL NCAA football game. Right, that those good hands where the ball goes into the hands, mm-hmm. Which, as I started thinking about it, is a little bit much of a statement. To like, it's like, oh wow, this is pretty heavy handed. But now it's like, yeah, heavy handed. But now you kind of look at it and you say, well, it's pretty effective in giving you their value proposition, and I think to a certain degree, Flo and the Geico people, they don't give their value proposition of their product. They give the value proposition of their company. That's kind of weird. But it's like, yeah, with Progressive, well, you can shop your rates. Or with Geico, it's like you can save 15% or 10% or what's the rate?
15.
But it's 15 minutes.
Like 15 minutes could save you 15%.
Save you 15%. Okay, yeah, that's right. Okay, yeah. So you get that. You're like, oh, okay, I spend 15 minutes, I can save some more money. But Allstate, and to a certain extent State Farm, really talk about their product, right, which is like risk. So you have really these great ads for Allstate, that is the football ads, and then you have this like brand promise or brand manifesto ad that I love. And then you look at some, you know, on the opposite end of Allstate spectrum with the Mayhem guy. And, you know, for a company that I don't necessarily have an affinity for, Allstate, I will say that I really am impressed by their advertising chops. Yeah. The Mayhem man is like the modern gold standard for comedic advertising. Everyone wants the Mayhem Man. Everyone wants that.
Well, or Old Spice.
Or the Old Spice guy, yeah, exactly.
Talk about him more, Leo.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, the Mayhem Man isn't it Wyden? I don't remember
what?
Who originally came up with Mayhem.
No, Mayhem is
Leo.
Yeah.
So then Leo is the agency of record for Allstate then? That looks like, yeah, that would make a lot of sense. Some of these bigger advertisers, like Geico, goes to 4 or 5, and they all have different campaigns. Mm. You know, you got your Gecko, you got your Caveman. I mean, all of the different ones, and they're different. They're priced out to different ad agencies. They don't have agency of record,
right?
But it looks like here they do. So, what are your thoughts about the Mayhem Man commercials? Do you enjoy those?
I do. Yeah. I mean, I am. I enjoy the little idioms from the Geico commercials, and the cavemen were funny for a while. But I am almost never annoyed or frustrated when I see one of the Allstate Mayhem Man ads. unless I've seen it, you know, 15 times in a row. But I feel like they're great, and I feel like they do communicate, oh my gosh, all these catastrophic things could happen, but they depict catastrophe in a funny way. So it's not, oh my gosh, I'm afraid these things are going to happen. It's, okay, I recognize that they probably won't, but they might. And so maybe this is a company that I should go with. And I think that's, you know, that's a choice that they made, as opposed to think about like any of the anti-smoking campaigns that you've seen on television in the last 10 years that are just really focused on shock value. Right? That doesn't work for me as much. And I think that these Allstate ads are, they can depict shock value in a comedic way. And so it communicates the shock value, but doesn't necessarily leave the impact of the shock value of somebody just being, I don't know, having disgust at seeing this ad or fear, or it associates something lighthearted but serious at the same time with Allstate.
I think you brought up the smoking campaigns, the anti-smoking campaigns. That's an example of, I think, the worst advertising out there right now. I think that's so bad. So it is a minefield to try to talk to people about their accidents, because, you know, in the affirmative, we're talking about how, hey, we still play in the rain, right? Like, even though there is this bad thing, we still play in the rain. The Mayhem Man really isn't trying to sell you that, like, you'll still enjoy life. It's trying to, like, just communicate what kind of mayhem could happen to you in a funny way. And these could be really grotesquely disturbing ads, right?
And that was my point.
If they weren't done correctly. You know, yeah, and I'm agreeing with you viciously. Vehemently agreeing with you. Is that, like, that guy, first of all, is such an approachable type character. So him in every situation is funny because it's the same guy. And it always, there's never a death depicted, which is probably good. There's always some kind of, obviously, mayhem depicted. But his absolute joy in the mayhem is a really interesting insight. It's almost like the Mad Men thing that people have a death wish. So, you know, let them have that death wish. This is, like, a little bit removed from it. It's people love, like, when people fall off a ladder. Or people love to watch America's Funniest Home Videos when someone gets knocked in the special place, the gonads. Wipeout. That's another great example. People like to see that, and this really leverages that. And, again, not just in a way that's like, that was a funny ad. But you walk away going, I get why that's related to that company. Sure. Good job.
Yeah, and I think so Allstate does a great job in the fact that they can communicate the same message with a different tone to a different target. To a younger target, the Mayhem Man is probably funny. To an older target, maybe not. Maybe that's, well, this guy, he's silly. He's running around in pink shorts. You know, I remember that first ad when he's, I'm a cute jogger out running and distracting you from driving or something like that. And so you have the, you know, President David Palmer from 24. You have those ads for maybe this target that needs something that's a little more serious. And those do take a little bit more of an emotional and perhaps not traumatic, but focus on more, okay, these are the type of things that could actually happen. You know, is a raccoon really in your attic nesting and going to fall through and land on top of your car? Well, probably not. But is this situation that, you know, President Palmer presents, could that happen? Sure. And, you know, he has this very soothing voice and this very fatherly type figure, respectable. And I think that those ads do a great job as well. But the point is that they all communicate. Allstate is a company that you can trust, that you can still do the things that you love. You can be protected from these crazy things that probably aren't going to happen, but they may anyway. I feel like it's a good set of
I want to agree with you, but I also want to disagree with you and myself.
Okay.
Because these ads, the more they call them the presidential campaign.
Okay.
Because President Palmer is from 24, it's the black guy that has the, you should have got the Allstate, but I can't even tell it. But, but it's that actor. Yes. Okay. And he is giving you more of a hard sell in the way that it's like, here's how many people die every year, or, you know, and it was almost at the time that they first came out, antithesis to the Geico ads, which were ridiculous. They wanted to really segment or take themselves away from where the advertising was going. So I don't necessarily have a problem with that, because that's good advertising. You do something really differently than your competitor. You're also communicating more of gravitas and less like getting down into the dirt. Here's where it becomes a little bit problematic to me. Those are successful for however long. And then, you know, some new marketing chief comes in and they're like, we have all this brand equity. We have all this brand equity in the presidential ads. Let's take them and make them funny like the Mayhem ads.
Okay, and I'm glad you went there, because that's where I feel like the Allstate advertising is dropping off a little bit, where you see these ads where they're almost like the Snickers campaign, where, you know, the construction worker's out on the construction site, and then he starts acting like a crazy person, like Robin Williams or something. They do this, oh, it's funny because that voice isn't supposed to be coming out of that person, and it's David Palmer, and it's, I agree with you, that it takes the value that President Palmer brings, which is respect and trust and a little more serious tone, and then it tries to forcefully, it's a little ham-fisted, tries to force it into the Mayhem Man, and it's kind of like, I don't know that those really go together. Or that it even communicates what the brand is needing to communicate.
It seems diluted. You know, it feels like what I just said happened, but most consumers aren't going to understand that kind of thing happens. You know, where a company loves something so much that they just remix it, and you're supposed to get that inside joke. That doesn't work very much, and when it does work, it won't work for very long. Because people, you know, growing up, and they'll seem to be oriented at more of a younger audience because they're a little more ridiculous and kind of zany.
Right.
I think that someone that sees that ad isn't necessarily going to get the joke, you know, if they're 10 right now and they see that ad in 5 years. They won't understand that that was a remix of the, you know, the presidential campaign, and it's supposed to be funny. I also wonder if the remix of these ads was more in response to the State Farm, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there, and someone appears.
Right.
It feels like this was a reaction to that. They're like, well, we'll have it where when they talk, it's that voice instead of someone appearing. And then you get into a lot of inside baseball. The only way that I think I understand the situation is because this is very interesting to me, thinking about agencies and how they determine to come up with these ads. But the normal consumer doesn't make that connection. And trying to get the Can I Get a Hot Tub State Farm commercial, that you shouldn't try to replicate great advertising from your competitor. You should make your own thing.
Right.
Unless, I mean, and there's exceptions, you know, like Samsung's.
I was going to say there's probably.
Next big thing.
There's probably a, I don't know, mobile tech crossover here somewhere. I could take a jab at you if I want.
Do it. No, do
no,
it.
I'm not going to take it.
Because, no, I would want, I want to hear it. I'm not, I'm serious.
I was nothing. I was just hearing shades of, oh, Android did that first. Now Apple stole that.
So. That is, you're right. Like, don't, just because someone got there first, but I guess there's a little bit of like, if you're going to be satirical, right? Which I think these ads are borderline on satire or some kind of parody. Don't be satirical of yourself. You know, there's a difference between being good humored about yourself and then expecting everyone to understand your company like you do as someone who works there.
Yeah,
those ads seem like they were made by internal people who like get that joke.
Now that I can see, I can agree with you there. Right. I think that.
Anyways,
I think that just kind of in summation of us talking about Allstate here, unless there's talk about, is that I feel like this is a company that's done a great job being authentic and staying true to who they are as a company or what they're trying to communicate. Now, I've not used Allstate, so we're not talking necessarily from a product standpoint, but from the standpoint of. Every bit of their messaging seems to communicate what they want to stand for as a brand, what their mission is, and it does it authentically, and most of the time in a way that doesn't feel too ham-fisted and doesn't feel too manipulative. And so I would do thumbs up or whatever or whatever rating system we're using here.
Out of 5 stars. No, out of 10 popcorns.
We'll come up with something, guys. We'll come up with something.
110% of critics like these ads.
Five Don Drapers. There you go.
Five Don. Yeah. It's interesting to take a step back. And I think we actually did a good job of talking about most of this industry of advertising for insurance generally. What was interesting to me, I went back and looked at some of the old Allstate ads, and insurance is something we understand now, but it used to not be as understood. And so it was a unique value when these companies first started. And so Allstate gets to the, you're in good hands tagline very early, and people love that because that makes sense to them. I wonder what your thoughts would be about, like, when do you let go of something like that? When do you let go of a brand promise or a brand statement and become and let your company transform into something else where you don't have to say that thing? And I'll give you another good example. So this one right here is Allstate, you're in good hands. Like Apple's Think Different, that kind of idea that's what they are defined as. They kind of reset that this year with Made in California, made by Apple in California. So giving it, not necessarily disagreeing with yourself, but abandoning the old tagline.
Well, I think there's a couple of reasons. I mean, first of all, you're probably doing some sort of research into what people like and what they respond to. I think if you feel like you actually need to make a strategic shift or a brand shift just for the sake of the business, then you probably do it. If it's in response to your competitors, maybe it's necessary. Or I think if you just feel like it's worn out, you just feel like we can continue to play on this, but continuing to play on it will diminish the power that it's had in the past. I mean, yeah, I think you're right. I think there's a point where there are diminishing returns where you say, we could keep using this, but we don't want to keep using it. We're going to let it go out on a high note.
So when do you stop making the mayhem ads if you're Allstate?
when
they stop becoming effective, when they don't test as well, or do you, you like the, this is the whole skate to where the puck is going to be as opposed to skating where the puck is now. Right. You know, if they're out in front of this, then they probably have something great that they're like, we can stop doing the mayhem thing and we'll do this new great thing. But that almost never happens, right? That's what the ideal would be. They usually is the effectiveness trails off and then they have to reset because it's just bad. And different agency review, that all that kind of crap. But if you're a good agency, if you're on top of this, then you're like, I think actually Allstate is, you're coming up with new and better ideas. But when do they retire Mayhem Man?
I think you're right. You probably do it when it's not testing as well, when you don't predict it to be as effective anymore. I don't know that I can say you just do it at a specific amount of time. You say, well, it's been
like
six,
Seinfeld,
it's been
something.
6 months. We've been doing this. So we're just going to call it.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's
a better ask would, cause the Mayhem Man is great. And I really hope they don't do away with it soon. A better question is like, when does Flow go away? Oh, Flow. Flow is like, I'm sure that Flow tests awesome with people that recognize that it's progressive and Flow is the person to go to. Like, I'm sure that there's no way that there's not people who know what she is. But I question whether it's smart to keep her around for very long because I don't know that there's a lot of affinity towards someone like Flo. Maybe they don't need it. Maybe they don't want brand affinity from her. Right. But when is enough when it comes to that kind of stuff? I really do be like, okay, so I'll give you my point of view and I want to hear where you disagree.
Okay, I'll try, and maybe this will be a point where we ask anyone who listens to try and chime in, because I'm not sure that I have an answer of when you're supposed to retire.
So I think that an ad agency, if it's doing what it should, making the right choices, it would say, it's testing well, but we've done it for a while. Is there a way for us to give them a better idea? Right? And I would hope to see a better idea sooner rather than in response to decline and, the marketing guys come and say, this is not testing well anymore. You'd hope that an ad agency would come up with new and better ideas. Part of what makes a great ad agency isn't necessarily making better ads, but it also is making better ads and then getting a client to run them. And I think this is a perfect example of where a client is going to say, that might be great, but man, we love Flow. We're going to stick with Flow. And I think that actually ends up failing the consumer because the advertising is worse off for it. Mm-hmm. Most people don't care that that's true, but the agency people definitely do. And I would put myself in that camp. So I think that one of the skills you have to have as an agency is being able to convince your client to step away from the thing that's safe and take another risk. And of course, you know, a company like Allstate is risk averse. Like literally, that is they're a risk averse company, right? They want to avert risk for you, but they're risk averse in their advertising as well. So I wonder if you can comment about
sure, my commentary.
If your perspective differs,
yeah, my perspective differs a little bit. I mean, if the data says that you keep doing it, then you keep doing it. And I don't know that I care so much about the creative liberties that the agency feels that they want to take or need to take if the research and the data that I'm looking at says that this person is testing well, then I'm going to keep using that person. But I can see what you're saying, and I understand how an agency would want to do that. And I also understand that not in every situation, I mean, the data may say that it will continue to work currently, but that may not be the best choice overall. You'd like to change before it becomes an issue instead of changing because you want to, because it's on your terms, and not because you have to. Like, oh, this one stumbled. Like the, you know, if I'm going to jump into your camp here, the Apple Genius ads of about a year ago, those were, I mean, awful, terrible. You'd hope to not learn that insight by making those ads and having them flop. You'd hope that you would have recognized that beforehand.
Yeah.
I mean, at what point did we stop seeing Justin Long in Apple ads, right? When did they decide, all right,
but that's a good example of something that was immensely popular that they said, we're going to retire this as it goes out on top. Yeah. Like, and you know, Apple examples are always cliche, maybe are inappropriate for me to use. But, like, let's say something like great ad campaign from – like Google's ad campaign of the Dear Sophie ads. We talked a little bit about those ads in the first show. Or actually, I'm going to do another one. Sony Bravia. Have you seen the Sony Bravia commercials? They're like color like no other campaign.
I haven't seen that campaign.
It's something like, and I'm going to link to it in the show notes now, but it shows like one ad with a bunch of bouncy balls going down San Francisco Boulevard to illustrate how much color the Sony Bravia TV has. Then another ad where paint like explodes in the building. They're all very good. They're very, very good. There's three ads in a row that were awesome, and they just didn't go back to it. That, like, it stood on itself, and they were very effective, and they're considered, you know, some of the great viral advertising in the early or the late 90s, I think, or early 2000s. They didn't return to it. And that was a good call on their move. They moved on to something else that was effective. Go to the next thing. But there is a sense that sequels and in like movies and in TV shows, that bringing characters back that you know and love is just so lucrative.
Right.
And so, I mean, I agree with you that there's going to be incentive not to change. But at a certain point, you're making a bad business decision. And I think that, like, it becomes a short-sighted versus a long-term thing, where it's like, well, what could we, if we do it right now? Like, yeah, if we did Flow another year, it might really benefit us still. But maybe getting rid of Flow and getting something new will benefit us 5 years from now, as opposed to tomorrow.
Sure.
And businesses are notoriously bad for caring about long-term over short-term. That's like the whole stock market problem.
A good question. Hopefully those people who are listening can chime in and give us some insight into, you know, what do you think? If you have some intellectual property that's working really well, do you retire it before it goes stale, or do you let it run until it becomes stale and it's no longer working, and then you move on to something else?
Yeah. Okay. So let's end the show with your follow-up.
Okay. So I saw some ads just this morning, just today, and I feel like they really communicate not whether it's something that you believe in or not, or agree with. I feel like they communicate it really well. And it's a series of ads by HBO for the HBO Go service, trying to tell children, youth, teens, whoever is still maybe living with their parents, use HBO Go to watch HBO shows on your tablet or on your laptop or basically on your own time anywhere away from your parents. Because, as we know, HBO shows are notorious for graphic violence or nudity or language or something that you wouldn't feel comfortable watching with your parents. And did you watch any of these spots, Brian?
I did. I thought they were hilarious.
They are. They're hilarious. And so the spots, and they're safe. No, not offensive. But they center around, so this child, there's a son and a daughter, and so there's six or seven different spots, and they're watching either Game of Thrones or True Detective or what else, True Blood or something else. And then some scene, whether it's two girls making out or a really violent scene or something like that. And then the parents will just stand there and say, "You know, honey, I wouldn't love you any less if you were a lesbian." And the daughter, yeah, just, her eyes just get wide, like, "I wasn't expecting that." And then,
so it's showing that you might not be comfortable watching your content with your parents. And HP, and it's like, it's a backdoor strategy of showing you that, like, you can watch your content on any device.
Right. And so, very so good. It does it in a funny way. It does it by highlighting what HBO likes to be known for, which is, no, this is a home box office entertainment, and this is stuff that is, we don't care if it's offensive. This is how we want to show it. But you might want to use one of our services and watch it without your parents. Anyway, I think they're funny ads. I think that,
so let me just tell you what I find interesting about these ads. There's two things I find really interesting. First of all, HBO Go, as of late, has not had a great track record holding up to, like, premieres,
right?
So highlighting it as a feature is
interesting,
somewhat disingenuous in that, like, they can't even handle what they have now, so make it better. But that's everyone. It's a service, make it better. Secondly, this reflects HBO's new attitude that, like, they don't really care about subscriptions. You know, like, they're not trying to sell people on subscribing to HBO Go as much as they're like, we're now a built-in to any cable service.
Right.
And I don't think it's stupid right now to do this, but let's say in some, you know, future where TV is upended by some disruption, they might regret these. This is one of those where you could show it in, like, a court case where you're like, you even positioned this to your consumers that they should watch their parents' subscription, you know, like, I just think that it's a very interesting choice for them to highlight that thing, but it does, it gives their brand great visibility to the right people. I just think it's interesting they decided to run these. Brave, very brave. Yeah. Awesome. I mean, for the company that shows what they show.
right. Anyway, so they're funny, feel like they communicate, they stay true to who HBO is. I thought it was a good find.
Yeah, I'm gonna put them in the show notes. Okay, I think we're done.
Yeah,
it's another good episode. I feel like we talked about. This is the next thing. I want to know what we're gonna do next week. Let's talk about that. That's an interesting topic to finish on.
Okay.
What are you into right now
that we could talk about?
Well, yeah, or a company. It just depends on what we want. Let me pull up the list that I have here. Topics. We could, let's see, this will be kind of a slow week for both of us, won't it? We could maybe put a little more time into show.
Probably could,
so
yeah.
Let's think. We could do a T-Mobile, AT&T, Sprint, and Verizon show.
We could, yeah.
I would love that, actually.
Okay.
Let's do that.
I can get a guest on.
Who's that? Maybe not. Yeah. Okay.
But I will use all his writings for research, and I will plug him.
Okay. So we'll spend some time putting together show notes that talk about these different ads. We're gonna do wireless carriers next week. This should be so much fun. I have so much negative things to say
about T-Mobile.
About T-Mobile?
Isn't that what you were gonna say? No.
I have a bunch of negative things to say about all of them.
Yeah.
I think that they're... I mean, I don't know that my opinion will change in a week, but without assuming the end results beforehand, these people all lie pretty bold-facedly.
Yeah.
Like, on a consistent basis. That'll be good to talk about. So,
okay.
Anything else before we end?
I don't think so. I think that was good. I feel like it was a little more to the point and a little shorter, and I think that's good.
I agree. Cool. We'll see the three people who listen to us next
week. That's right. Okay. Cool. Yeah. Okay.